Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's session in our transformation series. We are working with the yin and yang way Mo, transforming worry into clarity. And as we head into this session, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place to either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. I'm going to get set up as well. And as you settle in, invitation to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels easeful to be with, neutral, or even all the way up to pleasant, taking a moment to drink that in. And then, as we often start off with, a little resourcing. Looking either outwardly or dropping inward, scanning that environment, outward or inward, and letting the gaze land in particular on anything that's pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as the gaze lands there, turning your attention to it and taking a moment to notice what it is you like the absolute most about this today. What is it that provides you with that sensation of pleasant to neutral? It may be the color, the shape, the way the light and the shadow play. And as you take a moment to really drink this in, receiving it for the nourishment that it very well may be. Beginning to also notice the impact. How does this feel inside of you? What happens inside of you as you're present to this thing that's pleasant, to the very least neutral? As you take a moment to really drink that in as well, receiving this for the nourishment that it very well may be, I'll offer you my thanks. Thank you for being here and bringing all of you to the table today. Such a blessing to have you all here in these ways to gather today in community. Thank you deeply to all that's made that possible. Thank you to the villages, the families, the ancestors, the lineages, to all of those things that have made this moment of connection possible. And as you take a moment to continue to savor and drink that in, thank you to all of those that have nourished us and the very land that we derive a lot of our nourishment from. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded this very land. Blessings. And blessings on your journey. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as we start off today's session, we're heading into the sixth house, house of practical action, house of being in service to the health of our bodies. And really, in body talk land, that's pretty hard to separate out from our minds. So it's also an opportunity to be in service to our minds. And as we look at what might be serving our bodies and our minds really well, we're going to bring in the natural planetary energy that hangs out there to support that, which is that of Mercury. And Mercury, working with intellectual energy, also has the capacity to connect us to curiosity. So as we bring in the essence, the consciousness of curiosity, I invite you just to notice what happens inside of you, even just as you hear the word, curiosity. And breathing into anything that might feel good there. And if any part of you is like, yeah, I don't know about that, then taking a moment to notice that energy as well. And we're going to bring circulation of all the basic healing resources to any areas of you that might be a little cautious, a little not so sure about being open to whatever this curiosity thing is. And as we work with that, bringing in circulation of blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, that lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system and really most of us to heal. Also working with circulation, the balance of yin and yang, that particularly includes for today's session, the balance of the yin and the yang wei mo meridians. And as we balance that, also bringing in circulation of water through the hydration technique, which helps to bring in not just water but also joy and releases any impurities that just don't need to be here. And then we're linking that all right back into the houses, but this time we're going back not to house six but into a new house, house number seven, house of partnerships, of relationship. As we bring the element of curiosity into our partnerships, our relationships, we're working here with the energy of, there's actually two things. First is feeling abandoned, and the second is feeling betrayed, slash even like tricked. So when we're in that energy of feeling abandoned, betrayed, tricked, it can be a little bit more challenging to find our sense of curiosity there. And this might be playing out in the lens of a romantic relationship. It might be playing out in the lens of relationship with friends, relationships with yourself, relationship with a group of people, relationships with all women, all men, all pick your thing, your topic. And as we broaden up this horizon of relationships and partnerships alike, and again, working with that lens of abandonment, betrayal, we're working here to do a few things. We're going to start off with fortifying the edges of the heart, and otherwise known as the pericardium in Western science, and that outer lining of the heart in Chinese medicine, that pericardium actually has its own meridian, and it's designed to help to protect the heart. And it's actually carrying a whole lot of worry, like, there's been a breach here. How are we going to fortify this? And underlying that, there's also the emotion of shame. It's like, oh, I didn't do my job good enough. Crap. The heart got hurt again on my watch. Oh, no. I'm a bad pericardium, if I was to really get dramatic with it. And I must admit, I do like personification. And as we work with this energy around the outer lining of the heart here and the emotional pieces that are here within it, I'm going to invite you to, if you're okay with it, direct your breath right to that very edge of the heart. And one side might be more prominent than the other. I'm feeling drawn to work on the left side. But you may notice a little bit more on the other side or the top or the bottom. So wherever you notice it the most, directing your breath to that area. And the energy that I'm seeing in that area is of it almost being like war torn, almost like riddled with bullet holes and blown up. And so there's the energy here of shock and surprise. And then underlying that just confusion, but not in a small way, all the way to the point, which is a flare of worry or flavor of worry, all the way to the point of disorientation that can even lead to something like losing touch with reality just a little bit. So most of us either disassociate or we enter some level of neuroticism or even just like mild, wild imagination to the point of even mild psychosis or something along those lines, where we start to see things that aren't even there anymore. And or hear things, etc., that aren't actually there. And as we work with this, it's basically pointing to a very deep sense of lacking of stability, which is what happens when we feel abandoned, betrayed, etc. And we're actually going back to where the seeds of this began, which is not so much in how you're relating here now as an adult of this age, but more so back to when you were in the womb. This is going back to right around that transition between the first and the second trimester, right around that 3 month mark or so, end of the third month, beginning of the fourth month, depending upon how you calculate that. And as we work with that, that point between the first and the second, there's this hesitancy to grow into what's already been established. So the first trimester, we have all the things developing and forming. By second trimester, everything's formed, but there needs to be some growth happening. So the transition point here can often demarcate a hesitation to grow into what's already been established. Almost like some part of you goes, I don't know that that's the best idea to really sink my teeth into this and deepen into this and give us any more energy. Yet there's also all this other momentum behind, it's time to grow. This is what we do here. This is what's happening here. So because of that, it's almost this sense of feeling like you're powerless or a victim of circumstance. And as we unhook the consciousness of being a victim of circumstance, I think you can probably see how that might play out with abandonment and betrayal issues in adult life as well. Being that victim of circumstance, that seed between, again, the first and the second trimester that's hanging out right around that heart space, right around that pericardium, we're going to run a seedrion. And it's continuing for the next, 4 weeks. Okay, that's taking us to the end of the yin and the yang way mo meridian section, essentially. I don't usually see it come up for that long, but this one seems to be important. And this theme is honestly one that's been highlighted more than once by folks in our group today. And as we work with this, that C tree, starting with C, circulation of all those same healing resources that I worked with earlier, followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter of everything that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Did I say that one? Yeah, I think I did. Integration, introspection. I apologize. I was reading and talking at the same time, and apparently in menopause, that's a tall order. So integration, introspection, help to shift the underlying consciousness to release and let go. And as we work with this, also bringing in the consciousness of surrendering and allowing. And we're linking it all into the 12th house, which says just that. Okay. And as we keep this tea tree running for the next 4 weeks, alongside of it, also running diaphragm to intestines. The diaphragm being that center of control and emotional processing, intestines, all the crap that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. And as that continues to integrate, we're linking it into the limbic brain, in particular, and how the reticular activating system is getting on with the amygdala complex. And in the space between those two functionalities, the amygdala complex is what makes our choices, our decisions based on fear, anger, rage, and it decides whether or not we're going to overreact or simply be able to respond to something in the moment. And as we hang out in this space between the reticular activating system and the amygdala complex, a lot of big words. Essentially, the space in here is cluttered up with excessive amounts of doubt and second guessing. And it's just feeding that level of worry and confusion. Okay, and then we're going to link that all into the Yang Wei Mo Meridian. Okay, and as we work with the Yang Wei Mo Meridian, we're particularly working with its capacity to overall regulate flow of qi and have consistent, stable vitality flowing through the system. Even if overall the qi might be low or high, and like generally speaking throughout the system, we're working on helping it to be consistently stable in the capacity for it to flow. Okay. And as it flows, in a way, almost like leading the way to show how the blood is meant to flow. And as it regulates the blood in this way, bringing in the essences of wisdom and passion, and running the permissions here. What if I did nothing wrong? What if I did nothing wrong? Okay. And as that comes off of that space between those various things in the limbic and the emotional brain, I see the entire limbic emotional brain taking like this big sigh of relief. It's like it's finally off the hook for having to constantly be evaluating, I'm wrong. Oh my gosh, how do I make this better? How do I, etc. And as we work with that, it's now unhooking along the edges of the entire limbic brain, the energy, the consciousness of self-blame. And it's reducing as well the need for the reptilian brain to support and activate the limbic brain in turning to self-blame first. Okay, and then I just hear the words from Alison Armstrong, who I've referenced off and on over the years, one of my favorite teachers on all things to do with relationship things. And I just hear her say, honor yourself first or all else is lost. And with that, I see the entire reptilian and limbic brain, almost like they're little animals curling up in a cave and tending to their wounds. They're actually looking at soothing and comforting, and they're open to receiving that. So to support that, we're bringing in the energy of Venus and the moon and connecting to healthy maternal energy to support that. And if you bring in whatever healthy maternal energy means for you, and that might be in the form of your own mother, that might be in the form of mothering energy and any other particular guise that could include a fictional character, that could include Mother Earth, Pachamama, who is it that would be the most soothing, the most comforting? And that might even be grandma. And as we work with this, deepening, pardon me, the connection into the maternal, into that which nurtures and nourishes, it's all linking into house number 8 for its work with rebirth and regeneration, and linking that right through to the kidneys. So this rebirth, this regeneration serves not just you, but your entire lineage, your entire ancestry, to all of those that have come before you. Okay, beautiful. Now we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and receive. And we're heading back to that Yangwei Meridian. Let me say that again. Back to that Yangwei Meridian. I'm honestly surprised I haven't tripped over my tongue a lot more with those words. But as we head back there, again, working with its role in the regulation of the qi flow and the blood, and I didn't mention this earlier, but specifically doing it more so on the exterior, the external part of the body. And in a way, we can think of that as being the external, the one that interacts with the seeming outside world and those outer relationships. And helping just to essentially like smooth the waters and reestablish flow in general and how it is you're relating to all things external. And here we're unhooking the belief system. The world is too much. And as we unhook that, followed very closely by the patriarchy is too much, and then very closely after that, men are too much. And it seems to be in particular needing to reestablish communication as we release those series of belief systems all the way through to the senses. And just before we do so, giving all of those belief systems their own like little mini body talk session. And if you can imagine that those all three, all of those belief systems are connected in a way to the emotion of overwhelm. There's this energy of overwhelm that's been used purposefully in a very protective way to keep you safe. So it's not necessarily a bad thing at all. It was there purposefully to support you. It's just run its course. It's just run its course, and you're no longer in the womb anymore. You're no longer in that first, second trimester point. So we don't actually need this particular amount of overwhelm to serve in the same way anymore. And this way of being in the world has likely come at a bit of a cost. It's likely come at the cost of having to constantly be in a state of protecting yourself by overanalyzing, overthinking, dealing with the, well, overwhelm that's out there. And there's no shortage. We don't even really need to go looking for it. All you need to do is open up your phone and there's a lot of information being fired at us. And it's interesting to note that in some way, at some stage of development in the womb, there was this design of as long as I am in this state of overwhelm, then I can be numbed out. Things don't have to be so intense. I can feel a bit safer and protected. And as we work with that, this old way of being that's been here so steadfastly for really good reasons might be just a little bit tired. It might be a little exhausted. It takes a lot of energy to be in overwhelm. It takes a lot of work. And it might be worth letting this part of you know that its service is actually well received. Thank you. And it can stand down now. It can stand down now. And as it's ready to lay any part of its burden down, whether that's a little bit or all of it, it begins to soften the edges. And that need for that overwhelm and all that's underlying it also begins to soften. And as there is this beginning of the integration happening, imagining that you might even be able to hear the overwhelm itself take a relief, sort of a sigh. Or it might have something to share about why it doesn't want to quite lay all of its burdens down. Feel free to listen to that. And all of these pieces begin to just gently soften, and it's almost like that Yang Wei Mo was creating just a nice little soft shell, almost like a cocoon, but it had the consistency of like an eggshell just beginning to crack open. Almost like a baby bird peeking its way out from the first few cracks in the shell. And as this cracking of the shell happens, I see it coming from the head down. And just like, well, a baby bird maybe being born, it's actually going through this growing up process all the way from first, second trimester to third trimester to being born. And I see this sort of shell and overwhelm releasing from the head down. For those of you that were born foot first, don't worry, it's still working head down, this energy piece. And as we work with the releasing of this, for those of you that were born in any other orientation or a C-section birth, this actually might begin to give your nervous system any missing nourishment pieces that might have been desired by your nervous system to have as it works with the birth process in this order, going from the head down to the feet. So it serves sort of like a hidden double duty. For those of you that were born head first, this is also a chance to also receive that missing nourishment and getting a little redo of the birth process itself. And as we support the body in releasing this overwhelm from the head down as a form of rebirth, linking it into that house 8 again for regeneration, rebirth. And then bringing in the natural planetary energy of the 8th house. And there's actually two that hang out here, but we're working particularly with Mars. Mars energy is giving rise to expression in this case, working with that drive to be able to express you. And as I see this continual sort of like birthing process, I see the head out and there's just a bit of a pause right at the neck as we orient to what it means to express ourselves. And I see that shell beginning to continue to crack all the way through the arms, the shoulders, the arms, the upper back, all the way through the left side and then the right side. And as it comes out, there's a bit of a pause, almost as if it needs to pause right around that navel point, which is when it's said our astrological stamp occurs. So technically we're born and our astrological exact time is when we're exactly half in and half out still. So right around when our body hits the region of the navel. And there's just this like pause to take it all in. And I hear almost like the sound of a gong heralding this momentous occasion of you being born. And then the birth continues, that shell continues to crack over the hips. And as we do so, it's actually releasing the fear of being a disappointment. Depending upon how you were greeted, who was in the room, who said what, who was holding themselves in whatever posture that may have indicated something open or closed, or may have been quite severe. Maybe dad completely fainted at the birth. And there was this sense of, oh my gosh, I did that. I must be terrifying. Yeah, and as we work with this disappointment underlying that, we're also working with a fear of your own power. There's this fear of being open fully with all of you, almost as if there's a fear of presence itself. And as we begin to reprogram this particular piece, imagine what it might be like if you got to have a bit of a do-over with that all. And instead, you got to be greeted with words, something along these lines. Welcome. Thank goodness you're here. What a joy it is to have you here. It's a girl, or it's a boy. So lucky we are to have you here just as you are. And as we work with offering the system multiple permission statements, they all have the same common thread, which is that of acceptance. And as we offer acceptance to the system, letting it have that opportunity to get to know what it means to be accepted, to be welcomed, to be deeply loved and cherished. The body mind begins to, through that Yangwei Mo Meridian, repattern how it is we expect our world to be in response to us. How is it these relationships actually get to change and shift in a way that might be different, might even feel good? And we're connecting that to all 5/6 senses. Beautiful. And as we do this, running circulation of all those healing resources, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, etc., all of them, through to all 5, well, 6 senses. I just hear this newborn babe of you as it takes in this new experience. I am whole. I am whole. Whole is in WHOLE. And as that happens, releasing through the back of the neck and even just into the upper back. Any remaining pieces of disorientation that may be confusing the system to orienting it to anything other than your innate wholeness. Linking that through to again that Yangwei Mo Meridian in particular, where it relates between you and your external world and those seeming external relationships. And as that begins to integrate in these new ways, honoring the essence, the consciousness of the sacredness of this transition, of what it means to be born into something different and new. And running the permissions here. Life is sacred. All of life is sacred. At the same time as that, I'm seeing the natural human thing of the ups and the downs that just happens in life. And being able to honor not just the moments of harmony as sacred, but also those moments where things got blown up, things went to all hell in a handbasket. All those challenges seem to be there. And having that also be treated with reverence, with sacredness, not necessarily that you need to like it, that would be a little masochistic, but finding the sense of maybe there's something here that's serving me in a way that invokes curiosity where we began. All linking into the consciousness of receiving sensuality, love, and forgiveness. How sensually can we open to receive love and forgiveness? Perhaps love and forgiveness for having judged anything in our lives as being anything other than sacred. An opportunity to listen a little deeper. And as we bring in that curiosity in these ways, linking it through now to, excuse me again, through to the nervous system as a whole. However, working very particularly with the element of the dorsal vagal branch of the parasympathetic nervous system. What a mouthful. Basically, this is our center of the nervous system that invites us to social connection and finding calmness and curiosity in our connections again. And as we invite the nervous system to be here in these ways, I just hear the words, I am safe. And that's going, linking right back into that moment of birth, into how it is you were welcomed and accepted. Yeah. And receiving even a deeper level of safety than may have been there before. I am safe. And as the body mind drinks in safety in these ways, linking it into the jaws and where the SI joint hangs out of the back of the pelvis there, where the sacrum joins the ilium. And as it's feeling safe, it actually begins to open up to take in new life, to open up to receive even deeper nourishment and nurturing. And as the body open, pardon me, as the body mind opens up to receiving this way, I see it as opening up to allow the body mind to really orient itself to finding pleasure in relationships, finding sensual joy, and being able to literally digest and take that in and have that feed the system in a way that it's almost like within the digestive system tract, there's this fear of if I'm nourished, it's just going to feed the underlying worries and fears of my life even more, creating anxiety, which has created a bit of a downward cycle. So as we, or spiral, as we work with it in this way, we're actually shifting it to do just the opposite, to orient it to being able to take in, to tolerate that joy, the easefulness again. And it sounds a bit funny when we talk about it that way, yet it's usually the most challenging thing I see adults do, is orient to taking up joy and pleasure again. And as we support the body mind in doing it through the digestion, continuing to integrate a little bit from last week as well here, and running the permissions of what if this got to feel good now? As in, what if nourishment got to feel good now? What if what I receive from my external world actually got to feel good now? And what if there isn't the constant anticipation of pain, the constant anticipation of disappointment, being let down, being challenged yet again? And although that doesn't go away, there's still that in the mix. There's also the sense of being able to tolerate and take in the joy, the easefulness, which may be needed to navigate those choppier waters, so to speak, in life. As we work with the cell, linking it into a cell repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's going through mom's side of the family lines, 8 generations back, where there's this chronic state of worry being held within the yin wei mo, feeling like it's not quite able to settle and feel safe enough to actually take in nourishment, never mind be able to provide nourishment. And that created a subtle weakening, as when the yin isn't able to provide the nourishment, the yang isn't as able to be active. When one gets weak, it actually destroys both. And as we work with this subtlety that just began to get a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger through the generations, linking it into, as we operate the cell repair, linking it into house 12, as we release that pattern, unhooking it as well from governing vessel 20 points here in the center of the crown that governs our habit patterns, that's hooked into the coding of our nervous system, the myelin sheath. Okay, and then we're tapping this all out here. Invitation to breathe and receive. I got a doggy sigh on that one. Always a good sign. As this begins to settle into the system, heading back into that digestion. I was scanning, trying to figure out where we were headed with that one and what it might have needed, and went through all the things really quickly. And I was coming up empty, and then I just sat there and I listened to it, and as I went quiet, I just heard it whisper, "I could use a hug. I could really use a hug." Okay, so if you are open to it, I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can just simply gently embrace your digestive system tract, and offering it the same care that you might actually offer a brand new babe, or a puppy, or a kitty, if that works a bit better for you imagery-wise. And as you offer this care, this support, through touch, we're going to actually link in the digestive system through to the heart for its role in governing that quality of touch, as well as harmony. And imagine that we can really just love up on this digestive system, giving it all the care, all the love, all the affection that we might a brand new little one, a brand new puppy or kitty. And as we connect to the heart, for that to continue long after this moment, we're unhooking just a layer of almost callous energy. It's cold, and it's been programmed to be there out of, again, that need for safety and protection, Almost as if you needed to learn how to hold your own needs at a distance at some stage in life. Yeah, and as we, that could be through a variety of things. That might have been better to ignore my own needs in favor of, my mom or my dad, who I have to please, and if they're not pleased, I don't get taken care of. And as we work with the underlying roots of that, we're also working with a pattern of needing to save the other first. Okay, so I think also playing into why the heart and the digestive system are coming together in the way that they have so far in this formula. But there's this energy of, as long as I save the other person first and completely ignore my own needs, then they in turn will be able to save me. So it's like the hidden agenda of people pleasing, if you will. And as we just begin to unhook that hidden agenda of people pleasing, on the other side of that, there's this awareness that the heart gets to provide freely its harmony, its love, its honor, its respect, its dignity, its affection, its love. All the way to the digestive system tract, without the digestive system tract having to earn anything or do anything special, without having it to nourish the heart first. And as the digestive system learns what it means to just simply receive nourishment for no other reason than it's a joy to have the heart provide it. It's as if that hidden agenda of people-pleasing just gently begins to dissolve and melt away at the edges to whatever levels those layers are ready to go. And we're going to keep that running for the next 4 days to the end of the week, or 4 days from whenever you listen to the recording. Okay, beautiful. At the same time as that, there is this layer of worry, anxiety on the other side of that people pleasing that is also just melting and dissolving. And it's in that space just roughly between the bottom of the heart and the diaphragm. And it's also coming off of the left armpit. It's kind of where it's towards the back of the left armpit. It looks almost like out like an abscess. Like when a wound gets really infected and then there's like this ball of pus that grows big. This is almost the size of a tennis ball of like an abscess. And as these release, they're actually going to come together and release together simultaneously. And as they begin to just slowly melt away in their wake, in the wake of that wounding, there's this transformation that just seems to be spontaneously occurring. And I see the Osho Zen Tarot card, so I think the second week in a row we reference that now, of the card is called Success, and it's of somebody riding the back of a tiger, and there's all this like ticker tape parade type of energy in the card, and there's like this confetti, not actual confetti, but it's like that, pieces of paper that are confetti-like floating around. And it's got this energy of, again, like success, celebrate, you did it. Or you're just about to be embarking on a time of success. And as this begins to melt away and dissolve away, that hidden agenda again of people pleasing begins to dissolve in such a way that it can actually now settle and watch enough from the shadows that another way gets to be born. Another pattern that may serve this success even more so. Gets to arise, and it's actually the pattern of spontaneity, and the pattern of letting things arise just as they are, without having to manipulate or change or orchestrate things to be different. And we're linking, interestingly enough, this all into house 12. And as we work with house 12 energy, bringing in the energy of peeling back the layers of who it is we are not, but also the planetary energy here of Jupiter, of growth and expansion. So this letting go actually is almost like a weight that we get to let go of that allows the body mind to elevate, to soar, to rise. And as the falling away occurs, the rise, the elevation is embraced even a little bit deeper. You're allowed to stand tall. You're allowed to be here in these ways, soaring, flying high again. I'm thinking once again into house 12 to really release, surrender, and allow anything that's getting away from that pattern of falling and rising in these new ways. Linking that into all the senses, all six senses, for finding that connection to sensuality, to what feels good, along with even being able to tolerate the challenges as our senses orient us to all the things that are in our environment, taking in our world. And this time, they're able to do it through, again, that lens of curiosity. What if all of life was actually conspiring to serve you, even though it really didn't look like it at times, for really good reasons? And what if on the other side of this, there's an opportunity to see through maybe a different set of eyes? And with that, we're bringing in the consciousness of the eagle, the consciousness of being able to soar and have that eagle eye view, which means almost like that expression, how does it go? Not needing to see the leaf, but it's getting to see the forest. Can't see the, well, you know that one maybe. But I'm butchering it, so I'm going to let that go and come back to the eagle soaring. And as we work with that perspective of bird's eye view and eagle eye, it begins to release that need for the emotional ups and downs to be so chaotic or extreme. And there's just this easeful, gentle softening in the system again. As it begins to be able to take in life from this perspective. Linking this again into the TMJ to SI reciprocal, as this also works with digestion and it governs the health of all of our digestive system meridians, it said. What if the digestive system could have a bird's eye view of all of life? And it wasn't so focused on just digesting all the, all the shit. Yeah. As I say that, I actually see excess sourness, heat, and anger begin to release, not just through the digestive system, but also through the cerebral spinal fluid, releasing through the fluid that bathes the entire brain and the spinal column. And then also through the lymph system, and then it's about a third of all of our lymph nodes that hang out in the area from our collarbones up. And as this releases through here, I just hear the entire chain of lymph nodes and vessels alike say, you don't have to hang on to that pain anymore. I'm here. And then linking the lymph through to the lungs and the breath for its capacity to pump the lymph, as well as its capacity to bring in new beginnings as the lymph lets the old go. I feel like we could do an entire session on just that part. I'm going to digress for now. And as we work with that ending of the old through the lymph, the bringing of the new through the breath, through the lungs, the lung meridian. I just hear the entire body mind pose the question to itself. What energy do I want to circulate in now? What energy do I want to steep myself in now? And that's a great question. That's a great curiosity. And it also shows openness to possibilities, to choice, where it may have seemed like there was no choice before, but to stay stuck in the muck, the mire, the mud, the challenges of life. As the body mind reorients in these ways, I hear the entire right side go, I'm alive, and the entire left side go, and it feels good. I'm alive and it's feeling good. We're tapping this part in here. Invitation to breathe and receive here. Thank you for this opportunity to work together with you all in these ways. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to receive alike. Such a joy that I get to work in these ways with you all. I don't take a second of it for granted, so thank you. And thank you to you. Thank you for all of you. Thank you for doing this work, for calling this medicine in. And I've got a song here, and it's a little bit of a longer one. It's 6.5 minutes. It's called We Will Rise Again. It's by Pia, Peia. And it's from the album Beauty Thunders. Invitation to bring in that resource that you found earlier, or simply resting in the energy of what is for right now, if that feels good for you.
People will rise up. My people will rise again.
Thank you again, y'all, for being here. Mwah. All my love and wishing you blessings on the rest of your day and week ahead. Bye for now, y'all.